Hello and welcome to Technofunda Investing Podcast Series. This is the third episode in our series Achieving Financial Freedom with Technofunda Investing Process. I am Vivek Mashrani, your host, and you can follow me on my Twitter handle Mashrani Vivek or visit my website vivekmashrani.com. Today we have our special guest Pankaj Singhal, who will be discussing his journey, his investing philosophy, and how he has achieved his financial freedom. So, Pankaj Bhai, thank you for joining this podcast, and I'm very grateful that you are sharing your journey and your wisdom with the broader audience and helping them achieve their own financial freedom. So, to begin with, Can you just speak about yourself, a little bit of introduction for people who don't know you, and then we can take it forward from there.
Vivek, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. It's all my pleasure coming on this platform and share my experiences, learnings, and how I started my journey and how is it going on. Yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity. So yeah, regarding myself, I'm a normal human being from a middle class family. I have done mathematics and engineering. I have a mathematics and engineering background. I did my master's in computer applications, and after that I had my career in IT sector for 15 good years. So I have worked with four companies wherein I spent a lot of good time working with big clients, traveling across geographies, managing people across geographies, setting up some small businesses within clients' scope of work. So those 15 years helped me understand and gain a lot of important experience in terms of my core skill. So that is my very, very brief background. And in terms of investment, yes, it started as a hobby. It started as a curiosity, actually. Then it turned as a hobby. And as of today, it's my full-time passion where I can talk literally nonstop on stocks, on and on.
Great. So yeah. We will have you all talk about a lot of different things on stock side. But let me tell you, even I come from IT background, and I think most of us in India, you know, have started the career in IT because in last 10-15 years that has been the biggest employment sector as such. And it's great to see that somebody who has been in IT and then started this journey and finally achieving the financial freedom. And you know, your story would be very inspiring for people who are in the similar background right now or doing a pretty much similar job, and to get the steps, how you achieved it, and you did this, right? But before that, you know, I want to talk about a bit about your Twitter handle. So your Twitter handle is Anybody Can Fly, right? Mm-hmm, so yeah. Can you tell me and your title is Learn Life, Wealth and Travel. So why this name, and what is your philosophy behind, you know, living your life, and how do you see your life? And then we'll probably move more into a deeper investing journey and financial freedom. But this is a very curious question I also had some time back. Why Anybody Can Fly, and why your title Learn Life, Wealth, Travel?
Okay. So actually, to be honest, I am feeling very happy that you chose this question to start with. Anybody, why I chose this Twitter handle as Anybody Can Fly, because this is where actually my journey started. You can say in a kind of public domain, where I thought, let me start sharing my experiences on Twitter. This was one of the very upcoming medium during 2015, where people had started utilizing this platform for learning, for accessing news, for accessing various information, whatever they want to. And that was 2015, I would say a kind of early days for Twitter, but as of now it is pretty much settled. So when I started building my account, I thought what should be my username, what should be my Twitter handle. Then yeah, I took some time, and finally I thought that ultimately, what do I want to achieve? I am not here to share my photographs or something like that on Twitter. I am here to share my experiences, guide people, help people understand how they can grow in life, how they can grow in investments, etc. So that is where I thought, let me, finally I came up with a name like Anybody Can Fly. Means if literally anybody has a scope to grow well in life, to grow well in investments through skills, through learning, through hard work, through patience, through discipline. So literally anybody has a scope to fly, to achieve their dreams, to fly to greater heights. So anybody can fly means any, if you do hard work,
you can do it, everyone can do it, basically.
Exactly. If I can do it, anybody can do it. And ultimately, as of today, my motto is, if I can fly, if I can do it, anybody can fly, and everybody shall fly. Yeah.
Great. So I think, guys, this is a very common message. Even the same thing I keep on telling, right? That even I am a retail investor. I am not a fund manager or anyone who has, done all the things special. It's all hard work and then following the process towards this financial freedom. And this is a very beautiful message which Pankaj Bhai has given, that, you know, if he can do it from IT background, doing a job and then slowly, you know, leaping forward towards his dreams, it's pretty much every one of us can do it if we do it in a systematic way, right? So you talk brief about your background in terms of starting with IT and handling a team. How did it all begin? Like, generally, you know, when we are working, at least for me, when I was in Infosys back in 2008, I didn't know anything about markets, and probably I was just making a lot of mistakes. So how did you start from your IT career towards more on the investential freedom?
So if I go back a lot of years, my journey started with a curiosity that what all stock market is about and how people get attracted towards stock market as a wealth creation destination or as a just fun destination. So it was year 1992 when you must be knowing that Harshad Mehta scam happened.
Yep.
So those were the days where real euphoria was there in the streets, in market, among any discussion happening with any sort of people. Like,
yeah.
Like there is a common saying that as and when Panwala start asking for tips, you can say that market top has happened.
Yeah.
So in 1992, literally this kind of euphoria was there. I still remember certain saying that people used to say, please buy stocks today. You will not get anything tomorrow.
Yeah.
Everything will finish. People are buying like crazy. So those were the real euphoria days. And that's generated a kind of trigger in my mind that let me start learning. Those were my school days. If I remember correctly, 1992, I was actually in 9th or 10th.
Oh, yeah. That's very and, early.
Yeah. So, so that was only curiosity that, yeah. I started learning. I started since that was one day, that was the day where I started reading Economic Times as the first magazine.
Wow.
And since then, that became my kind of Bible source of information. At that time, I can say that still there were very genuine news all around.
Yeah.
So Economic Times, CNBC News Channel, people like Raghav Behel and Senthil Shankarvarayan used to come on TV. I still remember those were very, very good learning days. So those were curiosity days. It became my hobby. I kept on learning. In addition to my studying, and then I went on doing my job. Even during job, I kept my hobby ongoing. I kept learning, but I never used to have money so much that I did a practical investing on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I used to just go to my broker. I used to sit there understanding what people are giving orders, what kind of names they are buying into, all these made me help learning, like, let me go back and learn what are the stocks that they are buying. Then I started just suggesting a few names to my broker. Then I started suggesting a few names to my colleagues in office, and it all went well. And then finally, like after 15 years of job, finally, due to some personal reasons, health issues, I thought that let me make my hobby as my full-time profession in terms of my own thing. So first I started investing part-time along with my job. I took a risk of investing all my savings at that time. Fortunately, it worked well, and I reviewed after an year or so when I calculated the kind of returns I got and the kind of backup that I would need to help, that I would need to create before I take a decision of moving off from job. That was actually amazing. I actually ended up taking decision to quit my job right away. So as of today, it's been exact 5 years, you can say, that I have left my job. And as of today, if I review back myself, I am very, very happy that I took that decision at that time.
Okay.
So I, as of today, I can say I do what I love, and I love what I do. Yeah,
great. So actually, you know, coincidentally, this was the topic of my last podcast, where I was talking about, you know, your passion and your work and your mission, all three combining. You know, there is this book, Ikigai, the concept was derived from there. That is where you don't feel like working. And I think you are in that same state where you are basically doing what you like, and you are in a mission to spread that awareness. So it kind of doesn't give you any burden, right? And guys, this is one very good lesson. If you think about, like, at least I could derive a couple of points from what Pankaj Bhai told so far. One is, you don't need to just jump in and become a full-time investor, right? The first thing you need to do is learn. So he is still learning, and he is like a demonstrating lifelong learning principles in front of us. And he spent a lot of time imbibing the concepts, learning, sitting with brokers, and then finally he started his journey. And even after starting his journey, he was kind of a risk manager, where he first built up his capital through job, and then when he thought that everything is going fine, he experimented with part-time job, right? So this is again a key message for all the people who are just fed up with the job and trying to jump full-time. It's not like always going to turn right. Sometimes it can go bad, but you need to have a backup plan, and you need to move slowly and manage your risk, right? So eventually you will move there, but for some time you will probably need to do both the things together. And if you do it systematically, I think Pankaj Bhai is a live example that if he can do it, you can also do it, right? So great, Pankaj Bhai, that's a very key insight, at least I got. So now coming to the overall investment process, right? So how is your step-by-step process? Like, how do you think of screening different ideas, whether you do a scuttlebutt approach or you do more of reading research reports or getting from your network? How do you start with your process?
So let me start you from a business perspective. So as a very, very first step, I apply common sense investing. So in terms of common sense, what I mean is whatever business you can see around you, whatever business you are using in your day-to-day life, whatever things you are consuming as part of necessity or as part of compulsion. So if you understand all those businesses well, you don't have to really go too far to find what business you need to invest into. So that is the very first step. If I want to screen any stocks, I want to make sure that I first select the right sector, right business that I want to research into. Because in terms of business, my three key points are always there. First is, at any point of time, at least in our visibility, obviously you cannot predict any business forever kind of thing. You cannot say this business will be there in survival after 10 years, or you cannot say at all.
Yeah.
But at least in our visibility, if we can for if we can look forward and think of this business as 1 year, 2 year down the line, can it survive? If there is no question on its survival, then yes, that business is under my scope of research. So first point is there should not be any doubt on business survival. Second point, is there any growth potential if over and above where business is performing at the moment? So if I am, let's say if I have chosen some business based on my personal consumption patterns, and if I am spending 1,000 rupees today, can I spend 2,000 rupees tomorrow or day after tomorrow or next year? If I feel yes, I can, I will actually do it, then I, that is the point where I can say that yes, this business has a growth potential.
Okay, so you basically don't look a business from its own growth potential, you look into yourself and see if I am a consumer of this business, whether I'll incrementally spend higher on this particular product, right? So it's the other way around which you look at.
Exactly.
Yeah, great.
So this is, and this, to be honest, this kind of approach, this kind of thought process has actually helped me build better future visibility over of the business.
Yeah.
Because see, if some management is doing any business, some individual is running any business, that individual is also a human being like us.
Yeah.
Like you and I. If the way we think, that same person is also thinking on similar terms. He is not thinking anything rocket science. He is not applying any specific extra parameters. He is also in the same, sitting in the same home, sitting in the same market, sitting with the same kind of families. It is just that they have taken an extra step of risk to start a business, to run a business.
Yeah.
So coming back to the same thing, so business survival is done, then there should be growth potential. And on, if growth potential is visible, can that growth sustain?
Yeah.
So business has grown, business has survived at level of 100. Can it grow from 100 to 120? Can it sustain at 120? Can it grow from on top of 120 further?
Yeah.
So if this kind of visibility in terms of business, in my own understanding of schema of things, then I am done with my 70% of work in terms of selecting right business for research.
Right.
So once this is done, then I come to all those mathematical things, the business fundamental parameters in terms of understanding, in terms of finding top leadership companies as well as mid and small companies. Then comes the real hard work in terms of screening at a company level. What are the leader companies in that sector? What are the mid and small companies that can grow? And accordingly, I build a portfolio in terms of being reasonably diverse, being well diversified, at the same time reasonably concentrated.
Yeah.
So being well diversified, I mean to say that it should not happen that I am too much exposed to a certain company, and if something happens overnight, I am gone.
Exposed, yeah. Again, guys, this is very good point. You know that no matter how confident we are on the business, right? But shit happens and things can go wrong. And if we are like all in, I've seen many people going 40-50% in one stock, just at the initial position, not if it has like become 10 times, 15 times, and that is a different story. But people going all in and then seeing that, you know, capital wipe off if things don't work well, it's kind of leverage, right? You are basically so concentrated that it can wipe you off. So this is again a key aspect from a risk management perspective, that no matter how you are confident, right, you should have your rules in terms of capping those allocations, so that, you know, if something goes wrong, if things go bad, if economy goes bad, there are like situations like COVID or demonetization, and which are never thought of, right? We would not have thought that these kind of things will happen. And no matter how this company is strong enough, it will eventually suffer in those contexts. So this is again very good takeaway to take from this particular aspect. So again, what do you, Pankaj, if you can elaborate other points?
So on expanding your point itself, I would say that at any point of time, we should be very, very well aware in terms of knowing ourselves. What is our goal? What is our objective? What is our risk capacity? What are our milestones in achieving the end goal? So accordingly, we should progress to make sure we are into right portfolio. We are not overexposed. We are not underexposed. So all those things should be, we should be aware of all those points at any point of time. Yeah. So then comes the company fundamentals, where I understand, where I try to understand how much debt is there with the company, how much company has done pledging, what is the cash flow, how much promoter skin in the game is there in terms of promoter stake. Does the company do regular equity dilution, or do they avoid any equity dilution too often? So basic fundamental parameters that I research, that I study, and based on those fundamental strength of those fundamental parameters, I pick a few leader companies, little bit of some mid-cap companies, and some small companies. Small companies I always consider as my dark horses, where I am taking bigger risk. Those I consider them as high risk, high reward companies. At the same time, mid companies can be steady compounders, maybe big compounders, but leader companies are which would save my portfolio from any mishappening.
Right. So basically, you follow a basket approach of stable, you know, companies which have good visibility, then medium mid-cap companies where you have balance of both probably, and then slightly riskier with lesser visibility, lesser communication, those kind of small cap companies, so that if they run, they will be balance out the return parts, and the risk is basically diversified by following the basket approach. Is that correct interpretation of that?
Absolutely, 100% correct. So that is why you use the right word. I use basket approach, and within basket approach, I try to balance it out across all size of companies.
Right.
Because ultimately, leader companies are where if leader is extremely strong, it will keep killing the competition.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So basically, you create a win-win situation where if leaders keep on taking the market share, you are still winning because probably your that allocation will grow further as a high growth potential. Even if they take small market share from the entire market, they will show incredible growth, and that will probably re-rate the company and create a multiplier in very short duration. So you are basically balancing those both approaches.
Exactly. Exactly. So I will add one more point. So in terms of mid and small companies, first, I take only a starting position, very small allocation. And then with every milestone achievement where I feel, yes, company is growing from strength to strength, I increase my allocation towards upside. I completely ignore anything to increase allocation on downside. But I, with every milestone achievement where I build, where my conviction is also getting stronger, I increase allocation towards upside in mid and small companies.
Great. So I think again, guys, this is very good takeaway. And I truly believe in this philosophy that your position sizing in the initial stage should be small. And as the company is improving, as the price probably is also going up, because when the company will do good, if they achieve milestone, most likely your price will also go up. And generally what we do is, if price go up, we think that, you know, it has run up too fast and sell those businesses. And we do other way around when things become cheaper, like Yes Bank and DHFL. If they keep falling, we keep adding those stocks. I think this is a very good way to go about it, that you see in terms of business strength and you can ignore the prices. Even if you are buying the same business at higher prices, probably it is much stronger now and it deserves that kind of price. And if you keep doing that, I think if you are holding on to a multi-bagger, your averaging up will eventually have a bigger allocation. So in terms of percentage return, you might be at a smaller percentage with respect to your initial position. But then overall, you make big money if you are riding and finding that winner, right? Is that correct, Pankaj Bhai? That's what you are thinking.
Exactly. Absolutely. Completely right. And the examples that you used, Yes Bank and DHFL. So I would say, yes, there was a time even I used to like Yes Bank quite a bit. It was very, very long back. However, when the real problem started coming, as we started our discussion, my first point, business survival, that actually became a question mark in terms of Yes Bank or DHFL at that point.
Yes.
So as soon as we feel that there is a doubt on survival of the business for any company, just exit immediately. Do not catch a falling knife. Do not be over biased in for any company at any point of time.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is again very beautiful statement. You know, I kind of keep echoing with my system and processes in these cases that it's very difficult, guys. If you think about it, when you have full conviction and probably when you have made a multi-bagger yourself, right? That suppose you have bought Yes Bank for 50 rupees before 5-7 years, whenever it was, and then it becomes 500 rupees. And after that, you see trouble spanning out. It is very difficult to exit from these positions. And here, what Pankaj Bhai is doing is he has his own criteria. And he is having, probably a very good mindset in terms of sticking to his process. So he has his own system in his head. And if those rules or processes are getting violated, he is not getting emotional about it, right? So that is very key aspect when you think about it, that no matter what kind of conviction you had, what was the history, but if things change, your decision-making process should also evolve with that particular changes, right? So excellent, Pankaj Bhai. I think this is excellent overall process in terms of what you are following, and no doubt you have achieved this kind of success following these processes. So in terms of forward-looking innovation and valuation, how do you see those aspects? You know, how do you see something is cheaper? How do you see something is expensive? Whether you are comfortable buying slightly expensive companies when growth is there? Can you throw some lights on those aspects? Because that is where most of us, particularly in buying market leaders and proven companies, we face this dilemma.
So yes, this will always be a debatable point that big is getting bigger and at the same time it is getting expensive. But where there is innovation, where there is a management which is too passionate to grow, which can do anything to grow, literally can do anything to grow, such kind of businesses will be expensive. You have to ignore valuations beyond a point for such businesses. If we take some examples, let's say, so if I take global examples in addition to Indian examples as well, so look at Amazon, Google, Tesla, in terms of Indian companies, Indian listed companies, Nestle, all MNC companies rather, Abbott, Sanofi, many, many companies are there, even 3M India. So if you see all these companies, whatever names I have taken, they have grown from zero to a stage where they have potential to kill any competition if they want to. Companies like Amazon, even we cannot assume our own life without Amazon. If we have to do shopping, we do it through Amazon. If we have to search, we have to do Google. If we have to talk, we have to use Google. If you are in US, you at some point of time you will be buying Tesla. Tesla is ultimately going to rule the world through their in transportation sector, not only in automobile but in transportation sector. That's my thought process. Similarly, in Indian listed companies, if you see any MNC, they are available at 50 PE, 60 PE. PE means price earnings multiple. So why these six companies are so expensive and why we have to ignore their valuations beyond a point is these companies have very, very honest, ethical and clean management. These managements have never been doubted by anyone. At the same time, these managements take care of each and every stakeholder. By each and every stakeholder, I mean every customer, every employee, every investor, and even they think of themselves as well at the same time. It's not, even if these managements are selling their own shares for their own use or charity purpose, they will not be questioned at any point of time, and they should not be. So these managements follow very strong processes. They follow very, very ethical means. They, whatever cash they generate, whatever money they generate through their business, either they distribute among the stakeholders or they use it for their own growth. So they do not think to just keep holding the money with no vision. Either they will distribute right away in terms of a big dividend or just use it for growth. So all these companies will remain expensive. You may keep waiting. You may remain in waiting mode that let them correct and I will buy. But you may rarely get an opportunity. In case you are getting an opportunity, do review quickly such companies if their business prospects are still intact. And if they are, just go ahead and invest right away rather than waiting. So big will keep getting bigger and will remain expensive. And because they are killing the competition, they are becoming all-in-one companies.
Great. So I think I again can echo. I just read a book, Modern Monopolies, sometime back, and that was talking about these kind of platform companies which can do anything and everything and can go pretty much in any sector and kill the competition. And that's why probably, you know, the sky is limit probably in terms of where we can imagine where these companies will go in future, right? And again, guys, all the examples which Pankaj Bhai has taken, it's all for educational purposes, no recommendation. It's just for your thought process in terms of understanding and taking this forward in terms of how you can think about businesses and how you can connect the dots with the investment process. And again, if you think about it, whatever examples Pankaj Bhai have given, it's again tying back to his investing philosophy of growth, longevity, and then that longevity of growth should also keep on compounding. And that's where businesses will reinvest their money and go into new products, new areas, new geographies. And that's how it can compound over a long period of time. So it's important to first have an investing process in place. And then, as he said, you know, even if these companies, you see that it's expensive and sometimes it happens that it becomes cheap. It's very much necessary to see why it is cheap. It is because of external factors or there is something wrong about the companies. Because here again, as a value investor, people make mistakes many times that when growth is gone and things are cheaper, people feel that, you know, the past will also continue in future and they jump in. But it's very important to segregate whether, you know, there is a future visibility still or there is an actual impairment in terms of business. So this is a very good nugget again, which Pankaj Bhai has given. So Pankaj Bhai, overall we got the process in terms of entry, in terms of how you average up or add your business in terms of position sizing. And then finally, basically your investment criteria are getting rejected. You basically exit your positions. Now, if somebody is, say, a very new investor, right, and just enter the market in like last 1 to 3 years or 0 to 3 years probably, what are your key advices or from your mistakes, you will say that they should definitely not enter into certain areas or they should not do certain things so that they can learn from your experience and don't actually, that don't turn out to be expensive for them in terms of actual losses. So how they can vicariously learn from your mistakes or your understandings or learnings, if you can give some pointers around that.
Yeah. So in terms of mistakes, learnings, I have too many to share, but if I just share a few in terms of giving the most prominent ones. So first of all, never ever invest with borrowed money. So risk on your saved money, but don't risk on borrowed money, because ultimately, investment is through savings. Investment is not through debt at an individual level. So work hard, build your job, build your core skill, save money through whatever you are earning in job, and then start investing with a certain thought process. Risk on saved money only. Never invest with borrowed money. Leverage can be a very, very big mistake. And you may get carried away, but do not ever imagine that stock market is a shortcut and it can build your wealth overnight. Now, it is not possible, just simple terms. And a few more mistakes, I would say. So never catch a falling knife because in terms of if something is falling and if it is falling extremely in a big momentum, you never know, something is damaged in a company. Something is wrong with the management. So be very sure whether the stock is damaged or company is damaged. Do not just go ahead and buy something which has fallen from 200 rupees to 50 rupees. There can be a multiple reasons why it has fallen. So please review it thoroughly from scratch and only then build your conviction whether it is good to buy at 50 rupees. So, and then never act in euphoria or never act in downside panic. All these are volatile phases where market will keep giving you opportunities to exit or enter, but acting in euphoria that this share is going up, this has gone up in the last few days from 100 to 150, let me buy at 150. No, that is not the way. That should not be in a way, in my view at least. So never buy in upward euphoria, never sell in downside panic. Always take a moment, always review yourself, and then take a decision to exit or enter. But don't buy just because the price is going up. Don't sell just because the price is falling. And then, again, a few more things, like don't run after people who are having vested interest, who can misguide you. Because people who have vested interest, they have all the more reasons to misguide you, just to have their own benefit.
So
there are many, many more things that I can actually suggest, but it can get very long. What I can do is after this discussion, we'll share a thread of my mistakes where I have written extensively. That will be very useful for everyone.
Great. Yeah, definitely. I think on the webpage where I'll post, I'll share that link of your learnings as well. And I've probably read them multiple times. And that has been very beneficial, actually. And Pankaj Bhai has extracted all his learnings, you know, systematically on that thread. So I would highly recommend to go and, read that thread. And somebody who is neutral, right? He doesn't have any vested interest. He doesn't, give any personal advice or any kind of those things. And he's a retail investor like all of us. So when it is coming directly from people who are very credible in their own journey and those who want to actually share their learnings, I think you should definitely take it seriously for you.
Like, at the same time, I would like to add is, like, let's say if we are doing a job and if we are starting as a fresher, it takes 1, 2, 3 years usually at least to settle down in job, to start performing to management expectations, to your manager's expectations. And then you start commanding your own premium, your own salary. First of all, you have to justify the salary that you are getting rather than asking for more. So it takes time. It takes 1, 2, 3 years in job. It takes even 5 to 10 years in getting some returns from business. So do not expect anything from stock market overnight or even a day or even a week. You may get it. If you are lucky, it is quite possible, but don't assume that you will get it regularly.
So you have to basically keep on refining your process, and if your process is right, ultimately you will win. So if you win very early, probably it's due to luck. If your process is in place, eventually you will earn out of it, right? And again, very good point Pankaj Bhai made on core skill, which is very important, right? That when we start our investing journey, in 2-3 years we get frustrated with our job and the market looks like a savior, that okay, I can earn money from this and let me go full time. And probably there's no backup in terms of that financial amount capital which is generated to take care of rest of your life. And things go volatile in markets, right? As Pankaj Bhai said, there are times where it will go so bad that, you know, your capital can go 50% down in a mark-to-market basis. And you might think, why the hell I'm doing? And sometime your money will also double in a few years. But, having that mindset of increasing your core skill and first generating that capital, which eventually can compound, is very important, right? If you stop your job and go full time, your capital is limited now and the risk is unlimited, right? So you should not do that. If you have a comfort in terms of capital, then only you can slowly, after assessing all the risk, jump as a full-time investor. But before that, it's very important to keep learning and keep increasing your core skill. At the same time, you can keep learning about the markets.
Yeah.
So Pankaj bhai, I think broadly very good insights. Now, talking about something on financial freedom, like, when do you think a person can think himself or herself as financially free? What are the key parameters or checklist point which one need to assess before assuming that they are financially free? At least the first level financial freedom, where they can take care of their basic needs and some bit of emergency.
Yeah, so in my own personal experience and personal calculations, what I feel where you can say that you are financial free in every aspect is, at least you should have 3+ years of savings in your bank as cash, not into any assets, but only as cash. One thing, you are insured in every aspect, whatever you need to, especially in terms of health for yourself, for your family, for your connected people. Yeah. And next is, so 3 years is incrementally. It's not that you are done with 3 years of savings and you are done. No. So let's say after 6 months, you again have to review. You have to make sure you are again backup. You have a sufficient backup for 3 years again. So my main points in terms of financial independence is insurance and backup in bank as cash, not in assets. In my view, assets are nothing but a liability. You are more attached to asset in terms of responsibilities, in terms of maintenance, but you end up gaining nothing from assets. But and again, financial independence is one thing, but at the same time, real independence is when you can do what you want at any point of time. It's not that you are dependent, you are tied up, you are connected to something. No. So you should be free to do what you want to do at any point of time, whether you want to travel, whether you want to read, whether you want to just go out. So that is the real independence, where you can say that, yes, I am completely done from any rat race in terms of going after money.
Great. So this is again a very good point. You know, most of people think that, you know, if I'm financially free, I should retire. But that's not the right word. It's basically doing what you like, right? So you can still contribute to the economy, and India needs that kind of contribution, given, we are lagging behind the GDP. So we need people who can contribute, 10% top cream of country. You should not retire, but at the same time, you can enjoy your life simultaneously, as Pankaj Bhai is doing, right? You can travel when you wish. You can read books. You can mentor people. And you can work on your own interest area where your passion is there, and then excel in those areas. But you don't have any burden from anyone, push from anyone, or that kind of deadline from anyone, which is a dangerous word, which all of us face, right? So yeah. That is the broad, I think, idea which Pankaj Bhai is giving to us. So that's very great, Pankaj Bhai. Lastly, for people, at least I am a very good reader. I keep on reading a lot of stuff in different areas. If you have suggestions in terms of good books or reading material which people should start with to think of broad base in terms of their financial freedom as well as on the investing side.
So I would suggest three kind of books that people should read. Again, based on my own personal thought processes, and there are otherwise a lot of books. But three kind of books is, one is on positivity, one is being positive. Second is in terms of how to improve your body language, how to sell yourself, how to talk, how to listen, all those things. And third is on investment. Yeah. And in terms of investment, read dynamic books, read real books, people who have gained on the ground. So in terms of investment books, I can suggest books like Again, they are common books, which even I have read also, like books like Intelligent Investor, Coffee Can Investing, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, A Random Walk Down Wall Street. These are very few books. There is a book on One Up on Wall Street. So these are very few books in investment. Coffee Can Investing, I really loved the book because very, very well written by Saurabh Mukherjee and his colleagues. And I would say a real book based on experiences, based on dynamism, based on the way Indian story has unfolded. Coffee Can Investing is a very, very good book I would suggest to read to everyone. And in terms of positivity, books like The Secret, books like The Calling are very good books to read.
Great. So lastly, you know, I see yourself as a very positive person and spreading positivity. How do you yourself keep yourself positive, like every time? What motivates you and what helps you to be positive from your end?
Yeah, so yes, at any point of time, there will be negative things going around you. There will be positive things going around you. But if we are stuck to keeping negative things in our mind, then there is no end. We will actually start ignoring positives right from that perspective. So let's take an example. Let's say recently, in terms of few investments, let's take an example related to investment. So people started giving importance to noise, to negative points, and started ignoring the businesses, started ignoring the stocks. However, when they started giving importance to negatives, they completely ignored what can be the potential of that business. So they lost the opportunity, and those stocks turned actually multi-baggers over time. Similarly, let's take a final example of current situation of coronavirus. There are number of news going on that cases have increased to 80 lakhs, 70 lakhs, like that. But there is a different perspective to look at it. Number of recoveries, how much recoveries have happened? How many people are going back home from hospital? How many people have resumed back at their work? So if we look at positives, then you will always think of positive future. But if you are stuck to the negatives, then I'm sorry, you may actually end up losing yourself in the process.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. So it's basically ignoring noise, and it could be anything, you know, in terms of news, it could be same in terms of market, ignoring small tips and small tidbits around things, right? And some provocation from the vested interest. So ignore all these kind of noises. Have your own investing process and focus on your process and keep on repeating, refining your process. I think that is what will improve you. Being negative and, you know, pulling others' legs and not doing in the right direction will eventually harm yourself only. And as Pankaj Bhai said, eventually it will, you know, harm you more than others, right? So just think on those direction. It's like very profound message which Pankaj Bhai
has given. Yeah, there is no point hating anyone. There is no point mocking anyone. There is no point making fun of anyone. I have seen some people just find reasons to mock someone or to make fun of. But see, when you grow, you will automatically attract good people and bad people around you. It's you who have to focus on your own journey, what you want to achieve from your life. So if you are there to guide people, nobody will stop you. So yeah, that's it.
Great. So awesome, Pankaj Bhai, this was great. Any last advice, just one advice, one piece of advice, although you've given a lot of wisdom around this, but any one touching line which you always think of and you would like to have that inculcated for the users, like the small message which you can relate to.
So yeah, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Work hard for believing in yourself. If you work hard, you will never ever look beyond yourself. There is no looking back. There is no substitute to hard work. So work hard in your career. Work hard to build right networks. Work hard to do right research into your investments. Work hard to achieve your dreams, to achieve your goals. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Pankaj bhai. This is great. Again, nugget of wisdom. Believe in yourself, have goals and work towards your goals. And if you work really hard with passion and with your positivity, I think there is nothing stopping you to achieve those goals. It could be personal goals. It could be financial goals. It could be your life goals where you want to visit some places, make good friends, anything. It's possible. And that's why Pankaj bhai says his Twitter handle, anybody can fly and you can also fly. Right. Awesome, Pankaj bhai. Thank you for your time and sharing these thoughts with the wider audience. This will definitely help all the budding investors as well as some of the, you know, potentially experienced. I would not say again experience because we are all learning, but some people like me who have spent more number of years in the market, it will definitely help all of us to enhance and filter our journey and reach that goal which we all have in mind. Thank you very much, Pankaj bhai. And we'll share your link as well for the benefit of all. And we will try to catch up with you again in the future on the same platform.
Sure. Thanks, Vivek. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. It's all my pleasure. Rather, I am very glad that I am able to share my experiences, learnings. I am too learning at the same time. But yes, let's keep moving together as a team. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Pankaj bhai. We all are learning. We all are lifelong learners. And we advise all of you to also become lifelong learners. With that note, we are ending this third episode. Stay tuned and thank you for listening.